This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, it is just about 6:10 in the evening. You are listening to Lynn and Kelvin on the Evening Edition. And today, we are talking about freedom of speech. We're talking about censorship. We're talking about how we can manage hate speech and fake news on social media. And part of that discussion, of course, involves the content code within the CMCF or the Communications and Multimedia Content Forum.
And our guests today to take us through the content code are two representatives from the CMCF, Executive Officer Muhammad Mustafa Fazil Muhammad Abdan, as well as Chairman Dato Ahmad Izam Omar.
So before we start, if you have any thoughts or questions on content regulation and online safety, you know the drill. The number is 7733 2900 to call. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So to start us off, can you give us an overview of the role of the CMCF within MCMC? I realize I'm just saying alphabets at this point. So maybe you can tell us what it is that you do.
Okay, hi. I'll take you through that. So CMCF is the Communications and Multimedia Content Forum. So it sits under the auspices of the MCMC, which is our regulator, of which this came from the Communications and Multimedia Act of 1998. Of where, we as Malaysia wanted to have the internet to be free and open, open skies, as they say. So therefore, we felt the need for self-regulation as most important, because there's no way you can regulate everything with the net opening up. With self-regulation comes the need for a code, a content code, whether you disseminate or you're making stuff. You need to have a code for you to actually know basically minimum standards of what you need to adhere to. So out came the content code, of which is basically under the care of the CMCF. So that's what it is.
And who does the code affect specifically? How is the public involved with regards to the code?
Okay, for CMCF, actually, just to let you know, it's made up. It's an industry body. Where it is made up of stakeholders of content, for example, content makers, content producers, telcos, broadcasters, advertising agencies, advertisers themselves, even civic groups. So what happens is that these people involve in terms of shaping the content code and looking at how trends are coming and how things are changing and all that. So I think how it affects everybody is because this content code applies to basically everybody,
primarily to the industry, because the CMCF was actually set up like what Dato Izam has mentioned, by the industry for the industry, but with the care and interest of the consumers at mind. Yeah. So in this regard, we are doing it via self-regulation, whereupon this code establishes minimum standards that everybody can adhere to. And the trends and the setting that we're looking at is actually what is the current social norm. So we're looking at Malaysian societal standards in terms of the content that goes around within the content sphere for the current moment. The content code being enforceable since 2004 has not changed much up until today, up to what we're trying to do now. And it has been in operation and it has been good to go since then. The fact of the matter is that when we talk about minimum standards, the clauses or the paragraphs that we have in the code is pretty general. So it actually applies throughout all this time, you know. And that allows for a lot of creativity and a lot of leeway in terms of handling societal changes, norms, trends and what have you. Take, for example, certain kind of what may be deemed as a violent content way back then, it may not be right now. The fact of the matter is that interpretation as well acceptance of the society is very different from time to time. So the content code actually allows for that to happen. It is not prescriptive. It is not too prescriptive that it curbs what some may deem as certain freedom of expression or freedom of creativity. It does actually allow for that to happen.
So does that then mean that we're talking about that the code in and of itself is broad enough to accommodate societal changes such that it doesn't need, frequent updates? Because when you were saying societal norms, I was thinking about exactly that, right? Because things change, society changes, what you consider deeply offensive or deeply problematic, that can also shift with time. So does the code as it exists account for that, or is it more to do with the fact that it will require, you know, revisiting and updating?
We believe that it does require some updating from time to time. So it is not going to be a yearly affair. And it is not going to be, something that we think it might be, it doesn't affect the daily lives. So the changes that we want to introduce, or we have been looking at for some period of time, actually does go into closing gaps that we have identified. And these gaps probably it does affect not only businesses but also the population, whom are largely consumers. So we're talking about people making money, people spending money, and at the same time we're looking at the safeguards that everyone should have. So that is why at the end of the day, what we're looking for is safety for the consumers, and the industry is actually taking the pains and effort to actually do something about it.
And it's been 15 years and only now we have a recent review of certain parts of the code. So it's been standing the test of time for a while, because as Encik Mus said, it is minimum standards. But the reason why we put minimum standards out on the code, even though they are minimum standards and by right, everybody should know what sensitivities they are, there are always outliers who don't know.
Right.
So they need to see this to know, oh, you should not do this, actually. You know.
So what are the major areas that are covered in the content code?
Pursuant to what Dato' Izam was mentioning about the players within the industry, so the code actually deals with areas of content for these particular groups. So for example, if we take the most obvious one, is actually on advertising. Hmm. For advertisers, there are two parts to it. There are those who are actually product manufacturers, and there are those who are actually part of the advertising process, and there are those who are actually doing the broadcast of such content. So the advertising guidelines that we have under the content could actually covers all these people. So it allows for them to know what are the parameters that they are able to work within. And at the same time, it is also to encourage more participation by those who are actually creating content to advertise, but have previously have had no guidance. So as we progress along, where the industry themselves abide to this code, these minimum standards, then those standards can actually be shared. So those outliers, hopefully, will then come into the same sort of like parameters that they can also feel that, okay, these are the standards which are acceptable by the community, and henceforth, I can probably sell my goods and whatnot by the same token, So that helps both parties. At the same time, for broadcasters, it is a source of revenue, right? And where you have these minimum standards which allows for palatable content for everyone, then you actually reduce the issues where people might have problems with the kind of advertising that you put out. Like what the content code says is that advertisement should be truthful, honest, and should not be misleading and all that. So these are the standards that actually, in a way, should be common sense. But more often than not, there can be instances where, for the sake of selling something, you start to exaggerate more than what you should.
You lose your common sense, basically.
Yeah. So then the risk is that the consumers get what they feel like, oh, it's all pure trickery, And you're just trying to sell stuff. You're not really, your product really doesn't have any benefits to it, so on and so forth. So we also state, for example, that even when you make claims must be able to be justified. There must be readily available evidence for whatever that you claim about. So those are the kind of things that are put into the code.
We're going to be continuing our conversation after this, going into more detail on the subject of advertising and what is and isn't acceptable. We're speaking today with two representatives from CMCF, Executive Officer Muhammad Mustafa Fazil Muhammad Abdan and Chairman Dato' Ahmad Izam Omar. If you have any questions about really the kind of advertising you've been seeing, about the claims that have been made, about freedom of speech in terms of how it functions online, talk to us. You can call 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:21 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Kelvin, as well as live in the studio, two representatives from the CMCF, Executive Director Muhammad Mustafa Fazil Muhammad Abdan and Chairman Dato' Ahmad Izam Omar, taking us through the content code and really what it regulates, which it turns out to be kind of quite a lot. So we were talking just before we took a break there about advertising specifically. And you mentioned that a lot of the minimum standard that we're talking about is really common sense. And I was thinking, because common sense, as the saying goes, isn't that common. Can you give us some examples of what that might govern, what some grey areas might be? Because I think very often we do see marketers and advertisers trying to stand in that grey area and exploit that. So take us through what that looks like.
Well, typically I would say that the minimum standards that the code actually addresses is actually things which you would expect to have in a particular content regarding advertisement. For example, the product that is advertised should be a product that is legal, you know, for example. And the honesty and truthfulness areas, or rather the, like I said earlier, the claims, the hyperbole that's being used and whatnot, should relate to the product in its own characteristics and in its own right in terms of how it is to function or to be used. And obviously, we do not want to have an issue where an advertisement for any kind of product uses fear or distress, putting people under duress to buy it, you know, because not everything is a must, you know. So these are the kind of things that we have to make sure or ensure that the industry doesn't inculcate into their content. And further to that, one of the key things that we always look at is actually about claims. When one is selling a product, obviously they will have benefits, characteristics that sort of like differentiates their product from one against the other. And one of the ways to do it is either through claims, and that includes testimonials and endorsements, so on and so forth. If it is fairly done and it carries the weight of truthfulness and honesty to it, by all means, go ahead. But you know, do not exaggerate to the point that it goes beyond what the product is capable to do. And we do allow for certain what is called in the industry as puffery. You can exaggerate here and there a bit to actually spice up the content. But that is more spicing up the content and its delivery rather than the product itself. If the product can't do that, you shouldn't be talking about it in that manner. So these are some of those basic parameters that we have. And the code, like what we are saying, is that it has just those minimum standards for everyone to comply with. But it doesn't stop you to actually be creative. The creativity that we're looking at in any kind of advertisement does include audio, visual, and even to a certain degree, print. Although we do not regulate print, but it also exists on in the online environment, you know, the same kind of content. So these principles would go through all those mediums, especially the electronic network medium, and we want the consumers to be able to consume products or to consume the content that makes them to buy a particular product in the most, you know, safest manner. I mean, that's a keyword as well.
So take us through what happens when someone doesn't comply.
Well, okay, essentially we have instances where one, a particular advertisement has gone out. It can be either through audio or visual, and the people have a right to complain. So one of the things that we have under the Content Forum or CMCF is that in having our code, we are also able to enforce it. Enforcing it is through our own complaints bureau. So our complaints bureau is also independent from our top management. But it is also members of the industry are also there. A cross-section of the industry are also there, along with an independent complaints bureau chairman that deals with the complaint. So the complaint on, let's say, in this regard, where there's an advertisement which people may have an issue with and they had complained about, will be investigated upon. So looking at the content in itself and looking at it against the principles and guidance of the content code, we will then be able to determine whether it is in compliance or not. So there are also a few levels in a way, because there may be certain first offenders who may have misunderstood the code or whatever it may be. So we will look into the facts of the case. But in the worst case scenario where there is actually a breach, there are certain areas that is available for the content forum to actually take. One of it, we can issue a reprimand. That is one of the first steps. The other two is actually we can provide sanction with a fine of not more than 50,000 ringgit, and also to require for the act to stop, the advertisement to stop, or to remove the content altogether. You know, so these elements only come in as well where there is a particular breach. But like I said, sometimes it can just be a reprimand at first instance, because this is still, whether we like it or not, it is still a learning process to many, you know, so we will look at the facts of the case.
We have a WhatsApp message here from Muhammad Shani Abdullah, who says, on the 5th of July at 9 p.m. on TV3, very specific, a TV promo after the news showed a character with an unlit cigarette in their mouth and also a clip of someone carrying a child with an e-cigarette hanging from the neck of the father. This goes against the code and this complaint has been submitted to CMCF. Could you just take us through, I guess the dimensions indicated here?
Okay, so as an example, within the content code, there are also elements under the advertising guidelines which stipulates that there are certain unacceptable products and services that are allowed to be advertised, and one of it includes cigarette, tobacco, and its accessories. So you know that could be one of the issues that as was raised that could be against the code. Obviously, our complaints bureau will need to look into the actual content before it can rule on anything. And further to that, I think it's about child safety. Among many nations in this world, Malaysia has one of the good criteria of having child safety within this content code. So the child safety aspect is that a child can never be put in a situation where it endangers them. So it could be within the content that was mentioned puts the child into such a predicament. So our complaints bureau will need to look into that closely and then determine whether it breaches the code in any way.
We're speaking today with Executive Director Muhammad Mustafa Fazil Muhammad Abdan and Chairman Dato' Ahmad Izam Omar, both of the CMCF. We're talking about the content code and all that it covers. We've been talking about advertising, so you can keep those messages coming. We're also going to be talking after this about freedom of speech, so you can call us 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio with any questions you might have. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good evening. It is 6:35. You're with Lynn and Kelvin on the Evening Edition. With us in the studio today, two reps from the CMCF, Executive Director Muhammad Mustafa Fazil Muhammad Abdan and Chairman Dato' Ahmad Izam Omar, talking to us about the content code today and all that it covers. We do have messages and we do have a caller, but before that, I just want to pick up very quickly on something that we were talking about beforehand. So when it comes to the Complaints Bureau, you've mentioned that it's going to be, you know, investigation, that it is something that the Complaints Bureau will have to see and look into for themselves. Is there an estimated timeline when someone who complains, when they can expect a response?
Well, there is a stipulated timeline in the code, but we have found that to be quite difficult to actually say whether we can, deliberate on a particular complaint fairly within those times. So what we do on a best effort basis is that if there are cases where we can actually eliminate or rather dispose of within 24 to 48 hours, we will do that. So cases which we determine to actually carry a lot of weight of evidence, it will take some time. When we talk about such cases where we can, you know, really have a good turnover. It would be more often than not simple content cases where we can immediately answer the consumers or the complainants and, you know, really settle it there and then. But where the intricacies of a particular complaint comes in, where we have to, say, for example, call for representatives from a TV station or a radio station or advertisers and whatnot, you know, we have to apply the right of natural justice. We have to listen to both parties, so on and so forth. So that may take some time. Nevertheless, at the end of the day, what we're looking for is about consumer safety. And we make sure that the issues are deliberated properly, the right guidelines or laws are applied properly, and then we issue out what we call as our complaints bureau order or an advisory order. So there can be instances where we actually provide an advisory rather than an outright sanction.
Right.
That depends on the case.
If you have any questions today on what the content code would cover, and that includes things like we've been talking about advertising, it also covers things like what people talk about on social media and so on and so forth, provided it is within Malaysia, then call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. On the line with us right now is Faiz. Faiz, good evening. What's your question?
Hi, good evening, panels.
Hi.
Mr. Mustafa, especially.
Hi. Assalamualaikum.
I'm interested to know how much oversight or how much purview do you have on all these streaming services providing their services and content here in Malaysia?
For the purposes of the CMCF, our jurisdiction is actually limited to Malaysia. So when it comes to the online sphere, whatever that is domiciled in Malaysia, or, you know, for like websites that carry a .my, that will be within our purview. Anything that is beyond, unfortunately, we do not have the mandate to look into it.
But that's when the spirit of self-regulation comes in. So if you're worried about something that you see streaming online, there are always parental guidance. There's all the parental controls and filters that you can put on to safeguard your family.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, we also had a message here from Chu Wei on WhatsApp who says, will there be attempts to censor Netflix and the likes?
Well, Netflix is not based in Malaysia, so it's out of our purview. But once again, this is a whole new world we're talking about, right? So the best for Netflix is always to self-regulate. To always have that feeling of responsibility for yourself and the content that you allow your family to watch. And then you know you have your parental filters and parental controls, and you see the ratings, and you know, and you can't just say that, no, I'll just let him loose. You can't. You really have to be with them and monitor what they watch.
So it sounds like you kind of have to play the role of the person in the ticket counter at cinemas for your own kids, right?
Yeah, in a sense, yeah.
So our next question comes from Chris Ng on WhatsApp asking, how legal is the term image for illustration purposes only, especially when it comes to food? Is it ethical? What's your take?
I think, we have to look into the aspect of what is deemed to be a disclaimer. You know, when you actually talk about or show something, there are moments or there are parts where you don't actually have the right footage or the right kind of image to put up, but you do want to illustrate something. So henceforth, in order to convey a certain kind of perception, a picture is put. But in a way, that is also a self-regulatory aspect where you actually put the fact that it is for illustration purposes only. We must always remember that for all intents and purposes, we as consumers must also take the responsibility of finding out the proper truth. So if we know that that image is for illustration purposes only, then it is incumbent upon us that if we do want to have that product, we have to find the necessary information to allow us to make an informed decision. So, you know, for that particular part, it is more of a disclaimer in terms of trying to convey a message. But, you know, it's always the saying is always buyer beware. So in that case, consumers must also know that we also carry many responsibilities in order to safeguard ourselves.
And, you know, while we're talking about, well, this is actually on the complete flip side of food, but while we're talking about things like having to update the code, while we're talking about things like having to account for new entrants into the space, recently the CMCF intended to introduce the need for approval for the Health Ministry when it comes to slimming products in order to kind of facilitate consumer protection. When and how are new considerations like this taken into account? And I think this is a particularly interesting thing, because if you look at how it happens overseas, for example, slimming products are often advertised by people like influencers.
From our perspective, we actually look at it all the time in terms of new developments, new changes. And within our membership, stable of membership as well, everybody actually provides information to one another in terms of what are the developments of the industry. And this includes into what we're looking at now, into making sure that slimming products, which previously or rather currently still is not allowed where it is applied topically or by ingestion, to be advertised. But there has been changes within the industry. There has been a lot more acceptance by consumers as well. So we don't really take this lightly. Henceforth, we actually did a lot of background work, and that includes engagement with the Ministry of Health. So ultimately, what has arisen from all this talk, discussions and whatnot, is that it could be allowed, provided that the Medicine Advertisements Board can actually have a look at it.
Right. You know?
And therefore, it gives a layer of safeguard as well for the purposes of the consumers. So I think it's a good thing. And we want to be in line with the decision making processes of the relevant authorities. You know, so that is in a way why we're introducing this change, in order to close that gap.
I think that particular example was brought up by advertisers who say that, hey, I think our product is actually okay. And then we said, okay, in that case, you need to go to the Ministry of Health. And we went with them, and, you know, we have a bigger discussion going on. And I realized that, okay, so it's time to update the code a little bit.
So where do influencers fit within the code right now? It seems to be companies directly contacting influencers to market certain products, whether it's slimming products, whether it's skin whitening products for adults. And, well, last year we saw a case involving babies as well. So where do they fit there?
So, they are actually part of the final content, if you like. So what we are looking at CMCF is actually the final content as well. So whether they use influencers or not, the final content must adhere to the content code. So the work that has to be done by the product owner or the advertising agencies or what have you in trying to come up with that final content is to take into account all the relevant guidelines or legislation that they must adhere to. And that includes the influencers' role as well. You know, and among others, we also know that influencers must also consent for their name or likeness to be used, and all that must be in place. And for the CMCF as well, when we talk about influencers, there's also already certain guidelines in the content code that states that testimonials and all that, you know, you should be able to produce the consent.
We're speaking today with two representatives from the Communications and Multimedia Content Forum. It's Executive Director Muhammad Mustafa Fazil Muhammad Abdan and its Chairman Dato' Ahmad Izam Omar. After this, we're going to be turning our attention to the difficult subject of the internet and freedom of speech and just all of it. So if you have any questions, if you have any comments, call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:46. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. In the studio with us, Executive Director of the Communications and Multimedia Content Forum, Muhammad Mustafa Fazil Muhammad Abdan, and its chairman as well, Dato' Ahmad Izam Omar. We've been talking about the content code, focusing primarily on, I guess, advertising and consumer protection. But now we also do need to talk about freedom of speech and the internet. So freedom of speech is something that the CMCF endorses as a value, but there is always this tricky issue when it comes to freedom here in Malaysia, where, you know, there is a push and pull between anything goes and anything goes within reason. So should we allow for all views, whether or not we agree or disagree, and just facilitate the debate? Or is there a need to draw up certain parameters? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think freedom of speech is important, to the fact that it calls on people to have debates, and that actually progresses the thinking and the society progresses as well. But I think for us and for Malaysia as well, I mean, freedom of speech is there and should be supported, should be encouraged, but it has to be within the laws of Malaysia, basically. You know, you can't contravene any laws, because if you do, basically, you'd be in trouble.
So in essence as well, is that if you want to have a level playing field for all in terms of exercising freedom of speech, that's when we rely on certain guidelines or certain laws of parliament that's been enacted. But it doesn't stop the fact that there's a lot of things that we can do creatively or we can express. More often than not, I think a lot of Malaysians look at what they can't do. So by focusing on what you can't do, you forget about what you can do. And that is the major part or the larger pie that you can actually, you know, consume in terms of freedom of expression. So we support it in terms of creative content. We support it in terms of, you know, economical betterment for all. And I think the creative industry is growing by the day, and everybody should be able to take part in it.
Now, the internet has probably been something that's been quite difficult for a long time if you're thinking about regulating content. How does the Content Code approach some of these challenges specifically related to the internet?
So first and foremost, I think we must remember that even under the Communications and Multimedia Act 1998, at the moment, there is no censorship of the internet. That having said, there are still societal norms that you have to look at. You know, if we take away talk about legal measures and whatnot, let's look at what is our conduct when we deal with online content. What would be the most the grouse that everybody is having nowadays is that because everybody is debating and using expletives, they're going personal beyond the topic. That is something we deem to be not healthy. What we want is to actually have a very good and healthy discussion or even debate, you know, on the issues at hand. So that normally will allow for a better result rather than, you know, name calling and all that. We've seen so many of the negative aspects of the way that netizens approach this kind of discussions, and at the end of the day it just creates something else which doesn't help to solve any kind of problems. What it creates is hate, then it leads to hate speech and so on and so forth. And that, in a way, may defame somebody, in a way may be termed as seditious or what have you. And what happens then is that you start to cross certain legal lines. And for what? It could have started just because somebody did not like somebody else's nasi lemak. And, you know, out of that, it can be viral, or it may have gone through so many processes where you know, you forget. Self-regulation talks about self-discipline in that sense. You want to pull it back to the sense that let's look at what is actually at hand and talk about it.
It's actually good manners, isn't it?
Yes.
You tend to forget your manners when you're online, somehow cloaked by the computer screen in front of you.
Yeah.
So I think that's the issue.
On that note about hate speech, there were recently remarks by Gobind Singh Deo, the Communications and Multimedia Minister, that there is a need for a law to hold news portals accountable for readers' comments. Right now, what does the Content Code say when there is hate speech published in the comments section of a news portal?
We are very much pro for self-regulation in terms of a portal owner, regardless of whether it's a news portal or it's your own blog or whatever it is, the content that goes through your channels, you should take note of it. The Content Code does allow for what is called as an innocent carrier, where one does not own the content, did not create it, but it came through your channel. So the concept of innocent carrier is allowed. Where once you find out that the content might be something which is wrong, you have to remove it, You know, you will be deemed to not be responsible for it. But if you do not remove it, then you might get liable for it as well.
Is there a time span during which you do need to kind of spot it and remove it?
There is a requirement under the content code. I think it's not more than 24 or 48 hours to remove the content once it is found that it is objectionable.
Now, does the code also apply to messaging apps, which, as we know, is the platform where a lot of unverified information and news is spread?
We take into account that the code defines similarly into emails. Emails are considered to be very individual in nature. But if the email is considered to be spam, where it is blasted on a huge amount, then you know it could be deemed to be general content. And it could be something that we can take a look at. So, you know, even though if it's a WhatsApp message and it goes through certain groups and whatnot, it may not cross the line that it's not individual. So we have to look at the facts of the case when we deal with it, if it comes.
And we know that issues of online safety and security are tremendously important in the modern age. Mm. How does the content code approach matters relating to this, including things like scams, cybercrime, cyberbullying? How does the code account for that? Especially because, like you said, self-regulation is important and it's good. But when it comes to things like this, people will abuse it.
Yeah. So we are proponents of self-regulation. And that is actually to tell people that you have rights. You don't need to be spammed. You don't need to fall under scams and whatever not. So it is more of a conduct. And the content code gives you certain kinds of elements of what kind of content is allowable. But beyond that, it is actually something that you have to look at on a personal basis, especially when it comes to scams or spam or whatever it is. When you talk about scam, it's actually theft. When you talk about theft, then you report it to the police. So there are elements where you actually have to reach out to other regulatory authorities as well. And that does include the police, the MCMC themselves, so on and so forth.
But that's the thing, though. I think we shouldn't just... The problem is everybody just believes everything they read because it's printed. You just believe it. You know, so I'm like, for example, the other day, my father really wanted to take some medicine that I've never heard of because he believed something that someone wrote on WhatsApp, which I told him anybody could have written that. So I think it's the issue of us being responsible and being mature enough to read something and realize that, okay, we need to do more research on this before we decide on whatever.
And that links as well to a certain degree, like what was mentioned just now in terms of news portals, right? So if a news organization is in charge of a particular portal and there is dubious news that comes in by a third-party contributor, then if it cannot be verified, it is in the best interest of the news portal to probably remove it or block it for the meantime until it can be verified. Because at the end of the day, the reputation of the news portal must be safeguarded as well by the owners. So nobody else can do it for you other than you. So self-regulation in that manner crosses not only from you know the normal industry players or even the consumers, but also by portal owners as well.
So CMCF has, of course, been running and collecting feedback from the public with regards to the content code. They can respond to some of the proposed changes that you guys are also thinking about. So far, it's been running for about 4 weeks plus now. Mm-hmm. What are the primary concerns that's been coming through from the public?
Well, for this particular round that we are doing a public consultation review of the code, there are about four minor changes, except for, I think, the slimming products happens to be, I think, one of the major ones. The feedback that we've got has been varied, but more often than not, there has not been anything overtly objectionable. But we don't have the final numbers as yet. It is still going on until the 14th of July. So we're calling for all Malaysians to actually go over to our website at www.cmcf.my. It's on our main page. You can have a look at the changes that we're proposing and provide your opinions. And then we also posted the same things on our Facebook page, the Communications and Multimedia Content Forum of Malaysia, and on our Instagram page as well, CMCF_Malaysia.
Thank you both so much for coming in and speaking with us.
Thanks.
That was Dato' Ahmad Izam Omar, Chairman of CMCF, and Muhammad Mustafa Fazil Muhammad Abdan, Executive Director at CMCF. And just to reiterate again, if you have any suggestions or recommendations that you'd like to see with the content code, if you'd like to respond to the proposed changes, that website again is cmcf.my. You can also find them on Facebook and Instagram. You've been listening today to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.